Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel lesson this morning continues from last week with the sending out of the 12 disciples to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus has given them authority to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. Their message? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus carefully instructs them to bring no money or provisions, but to rely entirely on the generosity and hospitality of others. He wants them to travel in a state of utter dependence. And you might expect him to say, "Trust in God and you won't suffer harm. Everything will work out." But Jesus never promises that those who belong to him will not encounter trouble in the world. In fact, he says the opposite, that the message of the kingdom will meet resistance in the world, that his disciples can expect persecution. If the point isn't clear enough, Jesus says that he is deliberately sending them out as sheep in the midst of wolves. That doesn't sound like something a good shepherd would do. A good shepherd is supposed to keep his sheep away from wolves, not send them out into wolf territory, weak, defenseless, and easy prey. And yet, this vulnerability of the sheep is intentional, because it's how the kingdom advances, not by force, like an army of crusaders, but with meekness and gentleness, armed only with truth and the power to liberate. It's how Christ comes to us, as a lamb, not a conqueror. And Jesus sends out his disciples as he himself was sent, defenseless in the midst of wolves, to imitate him, to embody him, and to bring the kingdom near. Because the kingdom of heaven is not a standard or a regime to impose by force, but the liberating presence of the Spirit of truth. Truth is what the disciples are called to witness to, not this truth or that truth, but truth itself, with a capital T. And though the banner of the kingdom is peace, truth is a violent disruption of the status quo. Truth exposes and brings to light. It reveals the hidden intentions of the heart. Truth can judge us, condemn us, shatter the illusions we live in. Like a sword, truth cuts off and divides. Truth can be a terrifying and life-threatening thing. It was from truth that Adam first hid in the garden. And as sons and daughters of Adam, we take after him. When truth exposes us, we hide, deflect, or lash out. As John says in his gospel, we love darkness rather than light. And so truth comes as an unwelcome invasion in this world, as a clash of two kingdoms. But only truth can set humanity free. Only truth can reveal who we are and who God is. And the good news of the kingdom is that truth has broken into our world, not to condemn it, but to liberate it. Christ was killed witnessing to the truth about himself, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He came to give us abundant life, and we crucified him for it. But God vindicated his claims by raising him from the dead, proving everything he said about himself. This is why the gospel is called good news. It is good, but it's also disrupting news, because it makes total demands of us. The way of Adam is broad and requires nothing of us. It's our natural disposition and resists meaningful change. The way of Christ is narrow and difficult, requiring everything of us and involving a real cost in this life. When truth comes, what is false has to die so that something true can be born. And whenever we are faced with truth, we have a decision placed squarely in front of us. Either accept it with all its consequences and be liberated, or reject it and maintain the status quo. Those who enter through the narrow door are few. And this is true even in ordinary relationships when we're confronted with the truth about ourselves. Even if the intention is to liberate us, we may not be able to tolerate the truth and shoot the messenger. Sometimes we have the hardest time hearing truth from the ones who are closest to us. As the saying goes, a prophet is never accepted in his hometown. Jesus warns his disciples that there are many who will reject the proclamation of the kingdom, who will reject him. And because a servant is not above his master, as his disciples, they can expect to encounter the same response he gets: civil persecution, religious persecution. Even their closest friends and family members might turn on them to become their greatest enemies. We hear David lamenting about this in our psalm this morning. Disciples of Christ will be persecuted like Christ because the same spirit of truth will be present with them. And yet, despite all this, they must maintain their sheep-like character because it points to the shepherd they are following. Their defenselessness and dependence associates them with Christ. And the success of their mission testifies to God's unseen power on their behalf. Even in the midst of wolves, Jesus calls his disciples to be open and vulnerable, but not naive. Interestingly, Jesus tells them to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Another unexpected statement. Innocent as doves makes sense. Like the pure whiteness of doves, we are to be blameless and untainted by sinful motives. Children of God, as Paul says, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. Doves means serenity, peace, reconciliation. The dove is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, of the heavens. But the serpent is of the earth, low and in the dirt. It's what we associate with Satan and the fall, with craftiness and deception. And yet there is a worldly wisdom that's gained, not through knowledge, but through lived experience. And this wisdom, this awareness of our surroundings, of the ways of the world, this is vital for believers who are in the world. Serpent wisdom comes in large part from our own experience outside the garden, so to speak. Our own stories, wounds, transgressions, worldly endeavors and escapades. All these experiences are invaluable for sheep in the midst of wolves. Jesus may send his disciples out without provisions, but they do need to bring their full selves, because the old self has a redeemed use for the kingdom here and will need to be employed in its service. Sheep of the Good Shepherd shouldn't have the wool pulled over their eyes. They will need every ounce of wit and street smarts they have. They will need to know what they're getting into, how to be shrewd about it, so they're not overwhelmed. Peter J. Gomes writes, "Innocence without experience eventually becomes a state of pure illusion. An experience without vision deteriorates into cynical despair." Be innocent, but not naive, Jesus says. You need both the serpent and the dove in you. Next, Jesus tells his disciples not to be anxious about what to say when they are interrogated. Just as they are to rely on God for their provisions, they are to rely on him for their defense. there is an intellectual over-preparedness that can undercut the living presence of the Spirit. The Spirit of truth knows what to say at any given moment. To be effective for the kingdom, we have to ultimately trust that Spirit, trust Him to move in and through us spontaneously, to use our intuition and creativity and words. That means setting aside what we in our anxiety plan ahead to do and say. And lastly, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Have no fear of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. They can harm you, but they cannot claim you. They have no control over your destiny. If anyone is to be feared, it's God, who can destroy both body and soul. He sees every sparrow that falls, and He certainly sees you, who are of much greater value to Him than many sparrows. The God who exposes the heart is the same God who lovingly numbers the hairs on your head. And though the good shepherd may lead into the midst of wolves, He knows each of His sheep by name. My sheep hear My voice, Jesus says, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." We should not fear persecution, because in our suffering for the sake of the kingdom, we identify with Christ, who is greater than any persecutor. And just as the Good Shepherd was vindicated by the Father and raised to new life, so the sheep will be vindicated and raised up for their steadfast commitment to the truth. To be committed to truth is to be committed to Christ, and to acknowledge Christ before men is to be acknowledged by Christ before His Father in heaven. For those who have been liberated by Christ, truth becomes something important enough to risk one's life for, to suffer, and even die for, even if it's just our ego that we sacrifice. In our lifetime, we may not encounter the type of persecution the disciples did in the first century. But we all have moments where our commitment to truth is put to the test. Moments where we are called to witness to truth with boldness and endurance, whether that's to a community, a church, a stranger, a close friend, or even our own family. Jesus summed up His mission when He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He has anointed Me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent Me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." As sheep of the Good Shepherd, who have been given that same Spirit, we are called to continue this work, to be truth-tellers bringing light to a darkened world, not with force or by imposition or even with recklessness, but with wisdom, gentleness, and vulnerability. Meekness in the face of suffering, as Christ the Lamb of God demonstrated to the full. Where truth is present in this way, Christ is present, and the kingdom is at hand. Amen.